It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Good morning and welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM, all over this great state of Michigan and everywhere in the country. In fact, the world. Because we'll send you this on a podcast. All you got to do is go to thegrillingguys.com and subscribe. We'll send it your way. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
It's Wild Boys Grilling Wild.
Yeah.
We're grilling wild today, boys.
Wild grilling.
Wild Boys Grilling Wild.
Right. So we're going to...
Reminds me of a Duran Duran song, isn't that? Yeah, Wild Boys?
Wild Boys, yeah.
Kind of right. Like that.
Yeah, so fall is upon us, even though where we are, it's been in the mid-80s for the last 10 days with no rain. It kind of feels like the dog days of summer, but it's coming.
Yeah, I shut my pool down and summer gets here.
Right, yeah. I've not done that yet. That's happening later today. We've just been waiting for what reason, I don't know, because we haven't used it in 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
But next day, today's the day, so we're going to get her done. It's supposed to rain on Sunday, and so I'm going to try to knock it out yet today.
The leaves are starting to fall, so it's okay to get them out of your water.
Right, yeah. So we're going to do a little wild game. It might seem a little early to you, but I was up in northern Michigan last week, and after the show took off and just went up there for a couple days, and the early goose season, they were banging away at those. And I understand we've got an early deer season in some areas that they're looking to thin out the herd in certain places. And then you got youth hunts that start. So there's going to be game on the table anytime. October, November, those are the big months, but it's already happening.
You know, I think it'd be okay for that youth hunt to be does only.
Well, you know what, though?
There's so many more doe.
Well, yeah, but...
half the time, it's probably not even the kids shooting. When you see these monsters and stuff, Dad's got it all set up. I mean, it's just kind of like, I don't know.
Well, see, I'm the other way. There's something going on there that's going to hook that kid for the rest of his life to be an outdoorsman and a hunter. And if he's heard his dad or his uncles or anybody in his family just continually talking about that big buck that they saw... And the kid gets so excited, and if he can go out and harvest one, there's plenty.
Well,
then you know
several
what?
Several things I would disagree with on that, but this isn't about I don't want to. I stated my case, and I understand your point. It's just repercussions. But I wanted to talk a little bit about venison first because I think that's what most hunters in North America probably focus on. There's an awful lot of duck hunters and goose hunters. And
yeah, I came off the Ducks Unlimited banquet. I'm not sure how many guys there are actually hunters versus those that just like being in that environment.
Right.
But at the end of the day, there are far more deer hunters than there are waterfowl hunters.
Where does the money for Ducks Unlimited actually go?
Habitat. Everything is about habitat.
Okay.
And all animals benefit from that.
I learned about the flyways when I was working in Canada.
Yep.
And
it's a big part of it.
In Alberta, where our headquarters is in Edmonton, that's a huge flyway there.
Right.
And then there's another one that goes right over Michigan.
Yeah.
And they hit
the Great Lakes.
They hit our Whipple Lake where I deer hunt.
Yep.
And there's ducks in there all the time. I'm threatening to go this year, but
it's the water, right? I mean, it's the Mississippi Flyway, which is the one that you saw from Alberta, and then you come a little bit farther to the east, and you get the Great Lakes Flyway. They ultimately converge on one another, but at the end of the day, it's all about wetlands filter water. Clean water makes things grow. There's a whole cycle there that the more wetlands we have, the better our environment will be.
I've talked to guys that have hunted in northern Alberta where a bunch of those end up.
Right, yeah.
And they said you just can't believe the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Of ducks in that area.
Right.
It sounds like, walking into the UP when the mosquitoes are thick. Yeah. They're just everywhere.
Right, yeah.
Just
exactly.
Shoot. Just shoot.
Right.
Well, so much for our venison segment. See, ducks do actually apply to venison because classic example, opening duck season. If you're in a tree stand somewhere, you're going to hear a lot of shotguns. If you're in a place like me where there's little lakes all over the place.
Right.
And Michigan is really the land of the lakes. We've got 11,000. Thank you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Minnesota's only 10. We're 11. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. But, you know, and that's part of the lure of being outdoors in the fall for me is that the hunting and fishing. I'm not so much that I even harvest things. I just like being out there. And the crisp mornings and the fresh air and seeing Mother Nature around you. And how many times have you sat in a tree and saw a hawk light above you or something and he's eyeing a rabbit that's down below or something like that? I mean, those type of things, that's just pure nature.
It's so fun. Yeah. And I don't mind the killing at all.
Well, I don't either. I don't either.
So I call it killing.
Right.
Because if I think of harvest, I'm sitting on a John Deere.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right, whatever.
It's different.
Potato, potato, the corn, but I get it.
The corn can't defend themselves.
Right, yeah.
That's a harvest.
Yeah.
No, I'm actively hunting, and I'm watching and just enjoying the same thing you were talking about, of being there.
Right.
I told you the story of sitting in one of my favorite trees once. This is 10 years ago. I'm probably 30 feet up in the air. It's just because of the view. I don't really even care half the time if I make a kill shot or not. I love seeing how close I can get and then seeing what's there.
Right.
And watching the patterns. And it's just therapy, in my opinion.
Sure.
But one day I'm up there and all of a sudden this shadow went by me and I felt this little wisp of wind. And it's like, what the heck was that? And I looked down and these massive wings spread out below me and stopped right on the ground. And this little red squirrel jumped up on the tree and started bitching out this falcon.
Oh, really?
And he turned around and looked up at me like, yeah, don't worry, dude. I saw you. And the look that bird gave me and the look of that beak and everything, I'm like, that is a formidable killing machine right there. So, uniquely designed to dive up to 200 miles an hour.
Right. Yeah. We had a very similar this last weekend. It was in the car, so it wasn't that similar, but we were up by Platte Lake.
You were hunting out of your car?
No. I was driving down the road, and we were just going down little two tracks, just enjoying the beautiful weather. And I come out onto the main road, and I make a turn to the right, and there's, I don't know if it was a golden eagle or what it was, but there was a very large bird of prey flying, and it was black. But it was coming like 100 yards. We saw it coming at us.
Maybe
it was
a female bald eagle?
No, it was all black. It wasn't an adult. But I'm just telling you, the wingspan was as wide as the hood of my car. And it was crazy. And because we pulled out onto the road, we were on M22, actually. And you saw it coming, and I stopped. And it flew right down the road, maybe like 15 feet off the road. So it was coming right at us. It flew right over us, went up, and disappeared into the woods.
Not a bear at all?
I'm telling you, Bob, it was like an eagle, but it was big and black. And so I don't know. I don't know what kind it was, but very large bird. Just really cool.
Wow.
Enough that Lisa, my wife, could get her camera out and got a picture of it while it was coming at us. You know, so it was, anyway. Just a great pure Michigan experience.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we went up there and dang, we got it.
Yeah.
So it was very cool.
Did you take the Tunnel of Trees?
What? No, we didn't get that far north.
Okay.
Yeah. We.
It's not time yet anyway.
Right. Yeah.
You want to do that at the end of this month or sometime in October?
Yeah.
All those maples turn
yellow.
We got
a little bit north of Frankfort is about all the farther we got north. But
so beautiful up there.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And the beautiful views of Lake Michigan, and that M22 runs right along the lakeshore. If you've never taken it, I'm sure many of our listeners have. That's a fantastic drive.
Yeah.
And we were a few weeks early for the color, but just had time to do it, so we decided
Glen
to go.
Lake.
Yeah.
All those places.
Yeah, really beautiful.
It's amazing.
Gorgeous stuff.
Quite a state we have. You got to get out and see it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what the hunting experience, one of the reasons a lot of people enjoy the hunting experience is because it gets you out.
Right. Yep.
And it's so easy to sit around and watch football.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were no TVs where we went. We rented a little cabin, a little Airbnb cabin, had no TV. It was just a nice little night getaway, and so glad we did it. But so this is the Wild Game Show, and we touched on venison, but we're going to hit it hard in the next segment. Yarlis, the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the Wild Boys Grilling Wild Session. Can't say that three times fast. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Hall Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Join us for happy hour Monday through Saturday from 4 to 7 with 30% off brick oven pizzas and $1 off beer and wine. Enjoy your meal and drinks on our large outdoor patio or even take your pizzas to go. Happy hour deals also available at our sister location, Wealthy Street Bakery, which is on the corner of Wealthy and Union. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Got to feed that boy.
You are getting your man card pulled.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys. If you're just tuning in, glad you are. It's the weekend. Fall is right around the corner. I guess officially we're not quite there yet, or are we? We haven't fallen back in time. That's the one that usually triggers me is when we spring ahead and fall back, then the fall's here for me. But well, let's talk a little
bit. Messes up the sundial.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Got to go out and move it. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about grilling wild animals because this is the season when we, in Bob's word, kill them. We don't harvest them. And we got to do something with them once we get them. So let's talk venison.
Yes. I think a lot of people, and I talk to people a lot about venison only because I'm very much intrigued by it and a huge fan of it, but also because I want to encourage the youth to keep the sport alive because it's a fantastic part of our heritage and human culture in general. Man has always had to go out and kill the beast to feed his family. And I think if you get too used to going to the supermarket, you get what you pay for. And sometimes people are finding out that some of the things in the supermarket are maybe not what they're supposed to be or as healthy as they could be. So there's nothing more pure and healthy than a fresh whitetail from Michigan or North America because they're so smart. They eat the things that they love. And if, you know, a lot of people say, well, I had one, it was all gamey and all this. I'm going to tell you that a great percentage, and Tim Sobey told us this too, a great percentage of the success, I should say, of good taste and tame meat is in the preparation. So making sure that when you do make a kill, that you get out there and you address that animal body, that carcass, you address it properly and you take care of the things that maybe will affect the flavor of that protein. And one of the big things I discovered, and I'm going to mention it again, it's the blood. I've been doing it wrong most of my life. And last year, accidentally, I tried something different just because it was warm and I killed a doe and I wanted to get it cooled as quickly as possible. So I skinned it and boned it on the spot and put it in large bags in a cooler on ice. And I didn't get to, I didn't get home in time, or it took me 4 days before I got that thing home. And what I noticed, what I was awestruck with was the amount of blood in those bags. And the whole goal I was trying to achieve all those years of hanging a deer was to let it bleed out, but it wasn't doing it. It doesn't do it because you've got too many muscle groups and they're all just contained in a carcass that's hanging and with, you know, a few spots exposed to be able to bleed out. And those spots aren't bleeding that much. So it's the blood, in my opinion, I'm sure of it, that gives venison that iron taste. And I'm very sensitive to iron. Like if, you know, if you've got a well and you've got hard water, that to me, that's repugnant. I wince, I can't drink that. When I taste venison that has a distinct iron taste as well, I'm less than thrilled about the taste. So this thing I had it quartered. Actually, had the whole thing boned and in bags, and then on ice with ice over it in the coolers, and it did the job of letting it bleed, and that got all that iron out of it. And I'm telling you, dude, I canned this one, and when I cubed it up and sauteed it, the first little one that was done is I've got my huge Lodge 22 inch on the stove,
sure,
with garlic EVO, onions, and whatnot in there. I had to, of course, like any griller, any chef, anybody cooking, you have to, you know, if it starts to smell really good, you have to take a taste. I also have fresh thyme from my garden in there, and I love thyme as a spice for red meats. And I'm telling you, that was the first bite, and it was a eureka moment. It was so tender, mm-hmm, and so tasty. It was like the best beef tips you would ever want. And I think I ate 2 pounds of it while I was sauteing it to get it ready for the jars. Yeah. I could not stop.
Right.
And that, so the point, I'm overbearing, I know, but getting that thing to bleed out, if you're a hunter, and if you're not, and this grosses you out, I apologize, but we all handle meat if we're grilling guys, and whether the butcher takes care of it or you take care of it, there are certain things you'll want. There's a reason they put those pads under steaks. They want to absorb all the blood.
Right.
Because it's going to keep bleeding out. You've cut across the grain of the muscle.
Right.
And if there was a bunch of blood in the bottom, people would be all grossed out.
Right. But I'm spot on with you. Exactly. So we actually, if you don't cut it up, the tip is hang it from the feet up and the head down. So many people hang their buck by the antlers, and because the theory is there that gravity will help blood move until it gets super cold, but it's that first 3 hours before it rigor mortis sets in.
Well, and if
that
you
want it to head to the head, because you're not eating that portion. Most people will stop at the base of the neck and take the shoulders, the back straps, and the hindquarters, and then the blood runs down, and you don't have so much of that. Because not everybody cuts it up immediately,
right?
In the field.
And I guess I would encourage you to try it, because if there's so many YouTube videos to show you, there are guys that can bone out a deer in 2 minutes. They're amazing videos to watch, and yep, it inspires you.
Yeah, but you got to keep it clean and keep it dry and let it and cold, right?
Yeah.
Those three things, and then you're good. And put it in a bag and in a cooler,
right? And then the other question is, do you skin your own deer? A lot of guys will leave the hide on it to take it home that way. And I have a problem with that too.
Right.
Because you're keeping the heat in the animal too long.
Right.
You want to cool it as fast as you can. So if there's ever a time to skin it, it's right away. So hanging it by its feet, back legs up.
Right.
Is definitely the way to do it.
Right. And then take the skin off it to let it cool.
Yes. And what's the device I have? What's it called?
A gambrel.
A gambrel.
Yep.
Wonderful, wonderful way to go.
Usually on a hoist. And
it's got a set of pulleys on it.
Right, yeah.
And especially, like, I'm by myself a lot of times when I'm doing that, because whoever I'm hunting with is still in a blind or whatever.
Yeah, because you always get your buck first. Yeah.
No, it's just that I'm impatient.
Yeah.
And the guys I hunt with are older and not so mobile.
You know what? They're smarter. It's like, I don't want to muscle that deer with him. We'll just let him do it, and then I'll just come back into camp when it's time for dinner.
Yeah, there you go. I just don't want him to have to do my work, because...
No, I get it.
I appreciate them coming up.
That's part of hunting, though, is you know, the camaraderie and getting stuff done together and celebrating somebody's, you know, kill. And it's just good stuff. So are we ever going to talk about your favorite venison recipe, or is that another show?
I think we're headed that way.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, that's good, because he called me last night, and he's like, hey, Jop, we're going to talk about wild game. I want you to cover pheasants and geese. And I'm like, dude, I ain't got 20 minutes of pheasant and geese. But so we'll
I know
up to
how
something.
This always goes, though.
Right.
We have a show plan, and we just start chatting like a couple buddies for some weird reason.
Right, and that's kind of how this whole show works. For the last 15 years we've been doing this, and thank God you guys are remotely entertained when we do it, so you tune in.
Can't wait to get to the black bear in the last segment.
Right. Yeah. Coming up next, we'll talk about some more wild game.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Getting to be that time of year.
Yeah.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM, and all over this great state of Michigan. We got friends in Lansing at WJIM and Bob up by our alma mater at Ferris, WBRN,
Yes. Picks
us up for the all over northern Michigan. So headed up there in a couple weeks for homecoming. We'll talk about that in another show, but going to be doing some cooking for my fraternity brothers in a little tailgate, so that'll be fun. But back to the hunting. This is the time of year when everybody gets out, gets the dog running, blows the summer dust off, work them a few times to get them in shape before the Michigan pheasant season starts in October, late October, the 20th of October. But there's lots of farms that you can go to that are pen-raised birds. You put them out, and then, you know, you hunt them. A great way to tune up the dog after a long summer. So there are going to be guys, you know, as soon as the weather breaks, you can't really run the dog in 80-degree weather. They're not going to last. It's like you and me. You're hot, and, you know, you get tired quicker. So when the weather breaks finally, and, you got 50, 60 days.
What's that season?
What?
Pheasant.
October 20th to November 10th.
Oh, so there's
in
a ways
Michigan.
Yet.
Okay. Yeah, it's a ways. But like I said, the farm stuff is going on right now. Guys will get out early in the morning when it's still 50, you know, and you hunt for 2 or 3 hours. It gets much above 70. You don't want to be out there walking in the brush with all the clothes on, and the dog is going to get shot quick. Not deadly shot, but I mean just worn out.
Not like
right.
Dick Cheney shot.
Right, yeah. He's going to get worn out. But working the dogs during the week and on the weekends is very popular right now. So you're going to get birds, right? And a pheasant is a bird that runs most of its life. It flies sometimes, but it's on the ground most of the time, kind of like a turkey. They can fly, but the leg muscles and the thigh muscles are tough, because they're used all the time to support the bird, and it runs around. It eats on the ground, doesn't eat on the tree,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's foraging all the time.
So when you did one, you did a bunch of them when we first started doing the show, and you had a technique that was fantastic. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so again, because they're tough, there's not any fat on them, because they're a bird that uses their muscles. Right, and they forage, so it's not like a pen raised anything that gets overfed.
But the breast isn't really tough.
No, it's not tough, but it's dry because there's no fat on it.
So what did you do?
So I brine them, okay? Oh. And what brining does is, very simply, it drives moisture into the bird.
With salt and sugar.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, here's the one I use that I think you liked. This was for 10 birds, so you could scale it down or scale it up.
Yeah, that's the one.
Right? But it's for 10 birds, and that brine is unsweetened apple juice. I've got a couple gallons of that.
Oh.
Okay? Because that's a nature flavor.
Great time to get apples in West Michigan,
exactly,
by the way.
Exactly. So 2 gallons, I wouldn't use cider. I would just use unsweetened apple juice. And then 2 cups of table salt. You can use kosher. If you do, add a 3rd cup for that, and then a cup of brown sugar and a couple tablespoons of black pepper, just because I like that little bit of bite in there.
I don't think cider would hurt anything, would it?
It wouldn't hurt it, no, but it's just, it's...
Not how you did it.
Right, and it's a little bit fermented, so you can't leave it in the brine as long with the cider versus the The apple juice.
So you can make some turkey jack?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Some pheasant jack.
So we do all of that, mix that together, warm it up a little bit just to dissolve the sugars and the salt, and then cool it back down, okay? And then I'm going to put the birds in it, and I've got a brining bucket. It's a 5-gallon bucket that has a little lid that you push down. You give it a quarter turn, and it holds things under the water.
Oh.
And you can get them anywhere, Cabela's, wherever, online, uh-huh. whatever. But the brining bucket, because what you want to do is you want to keep stuff under the solution, and you want it cold. So what I do is put the birds down in there, turn that thing, and then set a bag of ice right on top of it, because you don't want it to brine warm at ambient temperature. You want to keep this thing around below 40 degrees so you don't get bacteria, right? And I'm going to leave it in there about 12 hours. So I might come home at night, put the brine on, know that I'm going to smoke the next day, right? You really can't hurt them if you left them in there 16, 18 hours, but just 12 hours is a rule of thumb for me so that they don't get, soft.
So you could do this texture. If somebody gave you some dove or some quail or some grouse or anything, you could do the same thing with any of those wild birds.
Yep, yep.
How about duck?
Well, we're going to talk about duck in the next segment because it's different to me because they do fly most of their lives. They don't walk. And that breast is tougher because that's the big muscle that drives everything. So we'll talk about that. But let me finish this pheasant recipe. So in about the 11th hour, I'm going to fire up my smoker. Okay, and get it going. And I only want it to like 250. I don't want it hot. There's not a lot of fat on this. I don't want to cook it fast. I want to cook it slow because the slower you can cook wild game, the more tender it's going to be. Because I only want to bring it to about 125 degrees because
internal.
Because it's game, it won't hurt you if it's a little bit rare. And if you take it to 150, 155, it's going to be like chewing on your shoe because there's no internal fat at all in this pheasant. So, but before I put it on the smoker, get it lit up, get the smoker up, and here's the other thing that I'm going to do with these pheasants is I'm going to wrap them in thin-cut bacon, just the breast.
I'm wondering if you would do a bacon weave for those.
You know, you could. It just takes longer to cook.
Right.
Because you got double layers of bacon when you weave it. And what I found is because I don't want to overcook the bird on the inside, I use thin cut and only use one layer.
So you pin it with toothpicks then?
Well, no, actually, because I've got the breast with the bone side down, right? And I just wrap the bacon underneath that and I set it on a smoker and I don't roll it. So as it cooks, it'll cook down.
Sort of melts. It sort of shrink wraps itself.
Yes, exactly. It'll cook down. It'll tighten up.
Well, the funny thing is, we did this recipe 7 or 8 years ago. I went to Wisconsin to sign up a hot tub dealer, and his partner brought in those pheasants with the biggest, you know what, eating grin on his face.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He goes, "I got this from your show."
Oh,
and he was over in Wausau, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I said, "You got it from my show?" He goes, "Yeah, I download it every week. It comes to my phone."
Right.
"And I love pheasant, and you got to taste this." And he had three of them there.
Yeah.
We're in the office. I just struck the deal with them. They're going to be a dealer where it's all love fest.
Yeah.
And he pulls out these three pheasant, and he begins to slicing.
Right.
And I'm like looking at him like, okay, we affected this guy across the pond.
Right.
That far away with a great tip. He was so happy because he loved the method. And I'm telling you, I've never been a big fan of pheasant until that.
Right.
And that was fantastic.
Well, the difference is two things, I think. It's not overdone, and everybody likes the flavor of bacon, so I'll go to number three. It locks in moisture.
Yep.
When you put that bacon over the top, bacon's going to render. You're going to get grease. But everybody likes the flavor of bacon that I know. And some of it penetrates the meat while it's cooking. So,
and if they don't, just put it on your plate. There's a dog waiting around there somewhere
for
it. Yeah,
exactly. So, and the other thing is you can serve it hot, but you can also serve it cold.
Cold is how I had it.
That's how that guy had it. So what you're going to do is you're going to slice it just like you would a turkey breast. You start on the outside lengthways, and you just start slicing it really thin. And the bacon may fall off. That's okay, because you've got the flavor of the bacon that you wanted in there already.
Right.
But grab a little piece of the bacon and eat it with it.
I would love to try it hot.
Yeah.
Because the one you gave me was cold, and the one this fellow in Wisconsin gave me was cold, and it was so good. But I got to imagine hot.
Well, you get
that
it's
pheasant
different.
Breast. Right. It's got to be great.
Right, exactly.
And you're going to probably put some sort of a seasoning rub on that bird before you wrap it in bacon.
Yeah, any barbecue flavor that's good for you. And by the way, all of this, I know you're feverishly writing this down, listening out there, but all of this is on the grillingguys.com website. Look up brined pheasant. You'll find it. Everything you need to do, we the whole process, the recipe, everything. I'm sure I missed a couple things in there. But at the end of the day, you know, if I go to the farm especially, I'm paying $25 a bird to have them put out. I want to taste one or two, you know, and bring them home. But anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Coming up next, we might go from the pheasant to the goose. Talk to you in a minute.
Hey, this is Jeff from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit GarrettsAppliances.com. That's GarrettsAppliances.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're gonna pivot. I said we'd come back and start talking about geese. We're gonna do that another day. But today, because Bob and I all both know people that hunt wild boar and bear, and they're akin to one another. They're not brothers, but they're different types of animals to eat. And so we want to talk a little bit about that because we know people are doing it.
You know, over 14 years we've been doing this, and we've had some fun guests on doing these recipes. But I'll never forget when Rob Russell was in Minnesota. And they were hunting wild hogs, and he killed that one right on the air. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if you can get away with that now.
Yeah, we had him on the phone when it was happening. Yeah, I remember that.
You could hear the thing.
Right. Yeah.
As it turns out, that was Tony Courthouse's bulldog.
Oh, yeah.
He was pulling a bone out of its mouth. Rob, he was such a sly devil.
Right, yep.
Oh, he had me, I'll tell you. Now another Minnesota friend, is Babe Winkleman and his lovely wife, Chrissy. She's a phenomenal wild game chef.
Right.
I mean, you can pick her up on YouTube and all over the place. She's just a sweetheart. And, she adamantly, I mean, 'cause I asked her what her favorite meat was when maybe the last time I saw them in person. And she categorically said, black bear. I said, what? She goes, a black bear backstrap is unbeatable. And it went against everything I had ever heard, you know, because all the guys I know say the same thing. Oh, bear meat's so greasy and it's so gamey. And I think there are times when, depending on the time of the year, where the bear has been habitat, residing, I think their diet has a huge, based on my reading, has a huge impact on the flavor of that specific animal. But there are some people that have just phenomenal success at getting bear that are tasty. But they said if you get one that is smells bad, the whole thing's going to smell bad, and do something different with that animal. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, it's going to have to be brined and ground and turned into sausage, something right. like that. But those loin are going to be just like any backstrap, and I think you can rescue it with bacon. But I also might go to a brine because I'm a big fan of brining. But I also think, too, the processing of any carcass, you're probably going to have a similar experience to my whitetail last year. If you process it quickly and you bag it and ice it, because again, the blood has a lot to do with the flavor that any meat is going to give you. And I'm just guessing, but I'm thinking maybe even ducks and stuff like that are the same way. So to not freeze it right away, but to leave it on ice in a bag for a couple of days to render, you might increase your success. But bear meat,
so the greasiness of bear meat would come from the fat.
Yes.
Right? And
if you're skinning it, you're going to have a lot less.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody skins their bear, but I mean, I guess before I processed it to be eaten, I would take a lot of that off of there because it is a strong flavor.
Yes.
But my gut tells me you don't want to take it all off of there because then it's going to dry out when you're cooking it. But I think that there's a, like, even when we...
I think it depends on the cut.
Yeah, and we get a brisket. We take 75% of the fat off, but we don't take it all off.
Yeah.
Right? And I think and I have never cleaned a bear, so I'm no authority. We should probably get somebody on that does, but at the end of the day, my gut just tells me that you don't want an inch of fat on anything that you're going to eat, right? You're going to want to take most of it off of there and just a little bit for flavor and maintaining moisture.
Well, we did wild hog back at one of those hunting expos about 10 years ago at the Deltaplex.
Right.
And that turned out wonderful. That's some stuff that Uncle Ted gave us.
Yeah.
It came off of his ranch in Jackson. That turned out really good. We ran out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's good. But any of that stuff, any wild game that we're talking about is you need to cook it slow. And bring it up to temperature slow because it maintains its tenderness. Then if you put hot heat or even medium high heat on it, it cooks quicker and it dries up.
I saw a lot of guys online that were taking the loin and half of the rib cage, and they were making sort of like
a standing rib roast.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it looked gorgeous.
Sure.
And they seem to think the flavor was phenomenal.
Right.
Again, the seasonings and the spices are going to have a lot to do with anything. But let's say you get lucky and you get a bear and your buddy gets a wild hog. That's
right.
A beautiful sausage combo right there.
Yeah.
Might be worth getting a meat grinder and a stuffer.
Right. Yep. Or find your local butcher and see if they do that for you on a custom blend kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some will, some won't, you know, because they got USDA... meat shops, so they have to be careful what kind of wild game they bring.
Well,
but you'll find the guys that do. They're out
there.
Yeah,
there are also deer processors.
Right.
Like Pinckney Hill out in Lowell. They'll do your deer, and they're a slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
But they'll do your deer as well.
Right.
And they do a fine job.
Yeah.
They're on Pinckney Road.
Well, aptly named, right? Are they on top of the hill?
They are.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You're speaking of top of the hill... Saturday, I went out to Hilltop Sports.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to get some bow hunting supplies, and I spoke with a guy named Nate. That place just expands every year.
And this is in Greenville, Michigan?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. It's on the west side of town on M57 on a top of a hill.
Right.
And
Hilltop
I've been
Sports.
Shopping yeah. there for years. I used to get this scent called Wall Hanger, and he said he'll have it in again this year. But these guys, this is...
Is that for you, or is that something you hang in a
you
tree?
You put it on your boots, or you put it on tampons and hang it in trees.
Okay.
Oh.
Only if you're in Wisconsin and in a school.
Oh.
Or Minnesota, rather. Excuse me.
Tampon yeah. Tim.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, well, I think it does work very, very well. But my point was, hats off to those folks at Hilltop. And I talked to them about doing some events, and they actually want to get involved with some events. And the first one that we're talking about right now is in January. They want to have a bunch of trappers in, and they want to do a wild game meal for those trappers. So I've been wanting to do some coon and some beaver, and I think that might be our chance.
Wow. That's a challenge.
Hey, we need to get the guy from your appliance store along.
Brad
from Garrett's.
Well, I have some. Yeah,
because he'll cook anything.
That would be good.
He'll eat anything.
That would be good, and he'll serve Conrad anything.
Right.
So, but I do have another fellow in mind that's a big trapper, and I think we're going to have some fun with that.
Yeah.
Because
I'm going to have to study up on that one because.
You're going to have to run out to Hilltop Sports if you plan on hunting at all with me, because I know you haven't restocked any of your stuff for 5 years.
Yeah, well, if you don't ever use it, it doesn't go anywhere. But probably that crossbow could use a tune-up if it's been in the case for a couple of years and it hasn't been out like it has. That's going to be a, maintain your equipment. Now's the time to do that, too,
you should
by the way.
See
get out and get that done.
You should see the selection of guns they have.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went there for bow supplies, and I stood back at the gun case for an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like
that lower
that
level
store.
There. Yeah.
Since we lost Alan Bobbs, I can openly profess my love.
Yeah.
But they've got some
Bobbs' love can be bought, evidently.
It can. Yeah. They've got some great guys that work there that are just, you know, in their field. And they, I know they have Henry rifles as well.
Right.
And I just noticed in my email, did you see the newest Henry rifle?
No.
Yeah, it's a 45, lever action 45 with a built-in suppressor. The whole barrel looks like a sniper rifle. So it's a giant silencer.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get one. Yeah. I'm getting one.
That's something that you're going to need a big strap to carry that one over your shoulder. That's
I got a big strap, buddy.
Right.
Let me tell you.
Oh, no.
I'm going to have to send Anthony an email.
We're going to have to wrap
up
the
show. We need to get him back on the show. Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for putting up with our banter. Not sure we covered much today.
Appreciate
but
it.
Any recipes you can be found on thegrillingguys.com. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or smoker. Fall is here. It's a great time to cook. Talk to you next week.
See ya.